This is a Member Care Media production of TWR. This copyrighted feature may not be reproduced without written consent.
From Psalm 84, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. In our last broadcast, Marion, you began to describe your interest in this psalm, how you at first took it to be a promise from God that you and your teammates would go from strength to strength without faltering in your ministries and lives. But then your cross-cultural experiences and a second look at the psalm revealed that its subjects go from strength to strength, all right, but it's as they pass through the Valley of Baca, literally the Valley of Weeping. You pointed out that, likely as not, the valley experience was a dry, isolated, and lonely one. As you see it, Marion, what was especially significant about that observation?
Well, I think that's where trust really comes in for the pilgrim. Trust that the laws that have been written on his heart will still set a standard for life, that the promises of God are sure and steadfast. Trust, too, I believe, in the provision of God, and that somehow, even in this place where there is little vegetation, little moisture, little sunlight, that God will still provide what they need.
What kind of conviction makes it possible for the pilgrim to trust in God's provision when they're in that valley of weeping, that valley of Baca?
I think it's just a deep-seated conviction that suffering is part of the journey. As we said earlier, not if, but as we pass through the valley of Baca. And also the conviction that suffering serves some purpose in our lives, that it's not the result of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The belief as well that God will not always explain the reasons behind my suffering, and yet somehow he redeems even the most difficult circumstances. And he reveals himself in deep ways. Maybe the greatest revelation is for him to be there, that he is there in my suffering. And it's not as some far-off God, but it's as a beloved companion.
What happens to the pilgrim who is given strength to trust and a willingness to suffer, according to this psalm?
Well, according to the passage, I think there are a couple of things that happen here. And the first thing it says, they, that is the pilgrims, make it a place of springs. And so to me, that says that some action is required in order for them to make it a place of springs. So while it is a place of weeping, a place of mourning, I believe it's also a place of expectancy. Expectancy that God is there and that he will bring refreshing and renewing. So to me, springs speak of new life and insight. And it also speaks of the fact that trust here becomes a really deliberate choice. The second thing, I think, is that it says the autumn rains also cover it with pools. And I see that not as the downpours of maybe a good spring or summer rain, but rather the soft, gentle autumn rains, God's divine provision here, doing what the pilgrims can't do for themselves, bringing rain into the dry valley, bringing comfort, perhaps some new truths in the midst of darkness, providing hope.
So you see two things going on here. One is the pilgrim doing what he or she can to make it a place of springs. The other is God himself covering it with pools through autumn rains. Can you give us a personal example of how that played out in your life?
I think as I look back at a difficult time I had in the Democratic Republic of Congo, that's exactly what happened. We had to be evacuated out of the country due to civil unrest. Around that time, one of my dear colleagues was murdered. There were many setbacks in my work as I worked with an unreached people group. And I was home on home assignment following that difficult term, meeting with a group of my supporters in one of their homes. We were all gathered around and they were listening to my stories and wanting to really share in what had happened during this last term. And one of them asked a question, and as I remember, the question went like this. They said, with all that you have been through in the past years, you must really have come to a deeper understanding of the ways and purposes of God. Tell us what you have learned. Well, I thought for a moment, and I wanted to give a wonderfully inspiring and a knowledgeable answer, but I think it was at that moment that my own theology of suffering deepened, and I began to articulate what I had come to believe. I found myself saying with very slow but deep conviction, "No, I really can't say that I have come to a deeper understanding of God's ways. If anything, they're even more inexplicable. But I believe I have come to trust Him more in the midst of difficult circumstances."
And since that experience?
Since then, I've come to realize, both in my own life and in the lives of those I walk alongside, that I can only trust in a sovereign God if I've really come to know and to believe in the character and goodness of that God who is sovereign.
You've seen that happen in your life. Have you seen it happen in the lives of others?
Well, one person that comes to mind is a friend who went through a hostage situation where she was held at gunpoint for several hours by men of evil intent, and she literally feared for her life. Following that very difficult situation incident, she was forced to leave the city in which she and her husband were working. And then a few months later, she was evacuated out of her country of service. Recently, I had the joy of meeting with her. She's now back in a different country of service here in Africa. Her face really glowed as she talked about the things God had revealed to her in the valley. She said specifically that when she came to understand that even while she was held hostage by those men, that God was right there with her, so present beside her, that when she understood what she would call the keeper side of God, her valley became transformed into a place of springs.
The outcome of these experiences, yours and that of your friend, is unanticipated, maybe even paradoxical. At the point in the story where one might expect to hear about discouragement or despair, perhaps even bitterness and cynicism, you report experiences of renewal and hope and a readiness to persevere on the journey beyond these valleys of Baca.
Yeah, I think there's a wonderful picture of perseverance here. In verse 7, it says, "They go from strength to strength till each appear before God in Zion." And so rather than becoming more and more tired, as you might expect, as the journey continues, it seems like the steps of the pilgrims quicken, and they start to anticipate all that is waiting for them. They finish strong. So there's that joyful anticipation of all that is still to come. And I guess to me that speaks of the eternal perspective. And it's a wonderful picture of resilience, that we not only have strength and joy for the present journey, but that we have this sense of anticipatory joy as we maintain an eternal perspective.
Well, Marian, these are very, very important insights for those who are walking through a valley right now. As you've meditated on the psalm, have you found any lessons that caregivers can take away from it?
Well, I think, first of all, one thing that I would say is important, particularly for those of us who have some input into the preparation of workers for cross-cultural service, is to really make sure that they have had adequate time to cultivate the relationship with God before setting out on the cross-cultural worker journey, and that the steps and the ways of the Lord are written in their hearts. Of course, God continues to increase our knowledge of Him and our experience and understanding of Him, but I feel it's so important that we have those things already engraved in our heart to a great degree before we embark on cross-cultural ministry.
I agree with you totally. What about once workers have arrived on the field of service? What about then?
Once workers do go overseas or to their place of service, that we do all we can to understand and promote the concept of community. And I'm thinking not so much community as an organization, but rather as a way of life, to really understand how important it is to live and work with one another in deep understanding and deep commitment, a sense of accountability to one another, a sense of really caring for one another. Being able to celebrate the journey together. You know, that's that picture we saw at the beginning of communities of people really journeying together. That's really what I think we want to promote as much as possible with the people we work with.
I know that a carefully thought through theology of suffering has been important to your resilience on the journey. Does this psalm have anything to say about that?
So much of the psalm seems to be really about the Valley of Baca. I mean, that's so much a part of it. And I believe that another thing we can do is help prepare people for the Valley of Baca by helping them work through their own personal theology of suffering. I believe there are questions that we can be asking ourselves and that we can be asking new workers just for them to be able to work through on their own what they really believe about God, what they really believe about suffering, and to just give people the time to articulate their own theology of suffering.
Marian, many, many thanks for sharing these thoughts with us and for sharing your heart as well. Do you have a concluding thought from this psalm about our journeys through the Valley of Baca?
Well, I think something that I'm really struck with is the need for us to really companion people through the valley and to really trust God to reveal himself to them, to help them discover the springs that are there, and not to be necessarily looking for the quick fix, not in myself having the need even to quickly fix them when we see them going through difficult times or when we see them in the midst of the valley, not necessarily having to give explanations as to why they are suffering, but walking alongside with them and trusting that there will be springs as they discover them themselves, and trusting that there will be pools of water that God will provide for them.
We hope this production of Member Care Media will prove helpful to you. We invite you to explore the many other resources on this website. This copyrighted feature may not be reproduced without written consent.